You're all welcome. Can... Okay, it's fine. You can conclude. I'll give you another 2 minutes. It's fine. Okay, it's fine. As a tradition, we normally introduce ourselves so that we know who's here and why. I will start by introducing myself. I'm Peace Mabi. I'm from Gauteng Province. I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Women, Children and People with Disabilities. I will then afford members an opportunity to introduce themselves.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Gauta Mokhoro. I'm a member of this committee. I'm also the whip of the committee. I'm from the Northern Cape. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daryl Worth. I'm a member of this committee, and I'm from the Free State Province.
Okay, thank you. I will then afford colleagues from the department to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair. As a department, we are pleased and honored to be invited in your Select Committee. My name is Mzolisi Toni. I'm the Acting Director General. I also want to, as indicated by our Parliamentary Liaison Committee, that the Director General is not well in hospital, and the Minister is attending the funeral in Durban. So those are the apologies from our side, but I'll let the team to quickly introduce themselves. Thanks, Chair.
Morning, Chair. My name is Bahumi Matebisi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the department.
Morning. My name is Mbazi Mashivite. I'm a Chief Director at Shivite, HR.
I'm Rose September, and I'm Chief Director Monitoring and Evaluation on Children's Rights.
Good morning. I'm Mary Mononela, the Chief Director for Mainstreaming and Advocacy, Women Empowerment and Gender Equality.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Select Committee. My name is Velma Tobela. I'm the Chief Director responsible for strategic management.
My name is Rita Gazimuguba from the Ministry of Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair, and members of the Select Committee. My name is Dirasa Khwakwe. I am doing research in the department. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning. My name is Maudie Solomons. I'm the committee secretary to the committee.
Good morning, I'm Daphne Matthews, researcher to the committee.
Good morning, my name is Darrell Scotsman. I'm a monitor at Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Jabril MT, committee assistant.
Okay, you are all welcome. Before we can deal with the agenda, let me first welcome the ministers and the DG's apology, and also to mention a few apologies from our members. Honorable Tsikani, oh, she's running late. And Honorable Mashamaite, that's just an apology. We don't know what is the reason for the apology. He's ill. Oh, sorry, I didn't know that. And then Honorable Magadla, are there any apologies that members would want to?
No, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Chair, I'm sorry, I forgot to apologize. So the Deputy Minister is also in Devon. Yes.
Part 11. We hope by that time we'll be done. And then Honorable Mokhoro will only be here until 5 to 11. Those are the apologies. No? Okay, fine. we're here today to listen to the briefing by the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities on the strategic plan budget for 2012-2013. I hope the acting DG will then advise who's going to be presenting, and then we'll give you an opportunity to present, then after we'll engage. All right.
Chair, I will be presenting, and myself and the CFO, and then the rest of the team will participate in question time. Thank you, Chair. As we're hoping that the documents on the strategic plan of the 5-year strategic plan of the department and the APP has been presented to your committee. The presentation would focus on the background, the structure, the mandate, vision and mission, the strategic priorities, international obligations, national campaigns, the programs and activities, and conclude with a budget. The department has reviewed the 2011-12-15-16 strategic plan in line with the National Treasury Framework for managing programs, performance, and information. The total allocation for the vote aid is 172 million. That includes a transfer allocation of 58.5 million to CGE. So we would have less from that 172 by less 58 million. The total human resource structure is 200 approved post and 126 filled post, and then 74 vacancies. The organizational structure is currently under review and planned to be finalized by September 2012. So that structure would speak to the numbers that I've just said, Chair. The strategic plan is a 5-year plan, focuses on strategically important issues, including the department's strategic outcomes, which are aligned to the 5 key priorities and national outcomes. The mandate of the department, Chair, this is an area where we want to emphasize in this financial year, because we want to make sure that we internalize to the public their understanding of our department. The mandate of the department is to promote, facilitate, coordinate, and monitor the realization of the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities. And it's informed by the statement from the presidents on 10th of May 2009, and also August 2009 and February 2010. Our vision is a fully inclusive society free from unfair discrimination, inequality, abuse, and exploitation. Mission is to drive government's equity, equality, and empowerment agenda for women, children, and people with disabilities through an integrated approach to accelerate the realization of their human rights. We have got key priorities for the strat plan, Chair. One is to advocating for the promotion and protection of the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities, monitoring and evaluation gender, disability, and children's rights by ensuring that the National Compendium of Micro Indicators integrates targets for women, children, and people with disabilities, ensuring that mainstreaming of gender, disability, and children's rights happens at cabinet, FOSAT, cluster, departmental, provincial, and local government level, as well as public-funded institutions, the private sector, and the community at large. Strengthening institutional capacity to deliver quality service and strengthening participation in strategic bilateral and multilateral initiatives that contribute to the empowerment and equality of women, children, and people with disabilities. This financial year, Chair, in terms of
what has changed. In the previous red plan, we had not aligned ourselves with the five priorities of government. And this is what we try to do in this. This is what has changed in this particular strat plan and the annual performance plan. We also felt that, Chair, that we need to elevate our international obligations because people, in our view, seem not to know that we have a critical international obligation. And these are the areas where we're supposed to be participating. The AU Heads of State Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa, SADC Protocol on Gender Development and Development, AU Decade for African Women, AU Charter on the Rights of Welfare of the Child, AU Plan on Action of an Action for Children, AU Member States Participation Protocol, and African Decade of Persons with Disabilities, which is extended to 2019. At international level, we have an obligation around the Beijing Declaration and its platform of action, Millennium Development Goals, ILO Convention on Special 300 on equal remuneration for work of equal value, Convention on the Domestic Workers. We support the Department of Labor with regards to some of these areas. International Convention on the Population Development, UN Convention on Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination, UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and the related protocols, and UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and UN Member States Participation Protocols. Those are our list of our international obligations. Our budget, Chair, is also consumed more by some of these national campaigns, which becomes our critical obligation. The 365 days National Plan of Action on Violence Against Women and Children, 16 days campaign on non-violence against women and children, advocacy campaign on increasing women's economic opportunities, social complaint on National Women's Month, national campaign on preventing gender-based violence, the implementation of the Sanitary Dignity Campaign, social campaign on the Child Protection Week, which is now coming in May, taking place in Kimberley, where the presidents would launch it. Social campaign on the universal access on education, social campaign on child and maternal mortality reduction, social campaign on early childhood development. Which we would be working with the Department of Social Development. We've just participated in their conference in East London on the early childhood development. National Disability Awareness Campaign, which is to be launched in November. When we come to programs, Chair, we have the first program is on administration, and the second program focuses on women empowerment and gender equality. And the third program is about children's rights and responsibility, and the fourth program talks to rights of people with disabilities. The purpose of the first program is to provide effective leadership management and administrative support services. And the following sub-programs fall under Program 1. It's the ministry management includes National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, the Corporate Services, Office Accommodation. Those are the key ones that falls around that. If I may speak to the National Council Chair, the secretary is to provide sectoral support to the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, reduce number of gender-based violence in the country. They would focus on the for this financial year, we'll focus on the council establishment and look at coordination of the council sittings, establishment of the provincial councils, and the secretary will facilitate that. Secretaries will provide services and then also coordinate the 365 days and ensure that social campaigns are also coordinated.
The program two chair also looks at accelerating the development, advancement, and empowerment of women through coordination and facilitation of mainstreaming advocacy, advocating, monitoring the compliance, lobbying, raising awareness, strengthening institutional mechanism, building capacity and development and training. WEDGE has got three sub-programs. One is on advocacy and mainstreaming, which focuses on monitoring national departments and also implementation of national policy, implementation of gender mainstreaming strategy, looking at women's economic opportunities that are coordinated. Currently, the minister is working with rural women in ensuring that they access economic opportunities. We had a meeting with IDC where women were coming to present their business plans. They also looking at the women's rural development and social campaign on advocacy that will be coordinated by the program. We also look at the sub-program, which looks, the second one looks at monitoring and evaluation. That here we talking chair mainly on gender auditing in terms of the provinces, looking at the database, looking at monitoring visits to women's projects, including gender economic project and case studies documented and published. One of the things, Chair, that we're trying to do so that people understand the impact of our work and also what government overall is impacting on the citizenry of South Africa. We're looking at case studies and documenting a good practice so that people we're able to demonstrate what the work of government is all about in our monitoring process. We're also looking at compliance to regional, continental, and international commitments as a department. Also compliance to national commitments developed and submitted to cabinet. These are some of the things that we would want to make sure that cabinet is aware about. Looking at institutional support as a sub-program chair, one of the key things there is ensuring that we strengthen gender machineries. We also strengthen the institutional framework because of what is happening in the province. As we are working closely with the provinces because our implementation and monitoring strength is dependent how strong our provinces and local municipalities. So ours is to make sure that the mechanisms that are there are positioned in such a way that they can influence those structures of government. Institutional support and capacity building to meet international and regional obligations. We're working closely with the Department of International Affairs and integrating institutional mechanism for empowerment of young women facilitated. If we look at the children's rights program three, Chair, this program is committed to advance and promote the survival, growth, and development, protection, and participation of all children through coordinating, facilitating, and monitoring the mainstreaming of the rights of well-being of children into government policies and programs. Also, the program has got three sub-programs, speaks to advocacy and mainstreaming, monitoring and evaluation and institutional support and capacity development. The focus here is on a plan of action for children, national plan of action for children, the mainstreaming strategy, sanitary dignity campaign program, social campaigns, and children's participation and self-advocacy strengthened, because we think that our role is to make sure that children are able to articulate their needs and they're able to. And we've done this chair last year through COP17, where children were able to participate and present themselves to the international leadership. The monitoring and evaluation chair, we have international obligations that we have not been able to fulfill, and our target this year, especially around June, we thinking that we should be able to present through the structures of government the UNCRC 2013 periodic country report. We also working on the monitoring and evaluation strategy chair, and we think that we should be able to, because this is core of our work as a department. Some of the chief directors will be speaking in this area when the question time comes. We also, in the same program chair, wanting to strengthen the machineries, so that, as I said earlier in program two, that our work is dependent on how strong our provincial and local structures are in delivering on our mandate. We also going to look at child-friendly cities, community initiatives, and this is in response, Chair, to one of the 12 outcomes which speaks to safety. And that this will be implemented. We have worked done in KZN, in Port St. John's. We're hoping that working with the Germans, there's financial support that we're expecting there that would enable us to address the issue of safe parks. Then when it comes to Program 4, which is Rights of People with Disability, Chair, the focus here will be on the National Disability Policy. We're hoping that we'll be able to publish that this year. The National Disability Awareness Campaign that I spoke about earlier. The Universal Access Strategy, because part of the of our challenge is to make sure that by March 2013, we're able to meet the 2%, and we're hoping that the universal access strategy will help us to open up doors. But we also need to make sure that the South African Country Plan of the African Decade Continental Plan is properly coordinated, as the African Decade Plan is up to 2019. We also, this year's chair, would be presenting the report at the UN in the United Nations Conference of Parties in September. The monitoring and evaluation chair will also look at the reporting that I spoke about earlier. Also making sure that we monitor the effectiveness of government with regards to mainstreaming of disabled people. The institutional support and capacity development would also look at the capacitation of government officials with regards to disability mainstreaming. We're working with Palama in terms of providing this training. We're also going to strengthen, as I said, same like the other program 2 and 3, our provincial and local government structures. Chair, we thought that maybe we could
kind of elevate in brief what would be happening there, some of the activities that will be happening in the provinces. Obviously, we'll be launching the Disability Month for 2012 in KZN. The International Day of Persons with Disabilities will be taking place in Mpumalanga. The department is working with Department of Basic Education and the Eastern Cape Department of Education to develop an intervention model towards improving the quality of education in special schools. There is a cry in those provinces, Chair, about the abuse and that the special schools don't necessarily provide what is supposed to be provided. In the results of last year, in our work, we realized that blind children that were doing matric in the Eastern Cape, they have not received their results, and we're working with the Department of Basic Education in ensuring that that is corrected. We'll also do the report on the survey that was conducted across the special schools over the past year, will be released this year. We had serious struggles in ensuring that we get the information from the schools themselves through a questionnaire that we circulated. But we're hoping that we'll be able to do, we test the evidence by visiting some of the schools that have given us the report, the questionnaire, sorry. Work with will continue in Limpopo, KZN, and Northwest on the development of viable models for inclusive skills development centers that provide universal access to people with disabilities. Obviously, Chair, these are the things that we work with the departments that are concerned, for instance, the Department of Social Development and the provinces concerned in these areas. The Child Protection Week launch in Galeshewe will be on the 27th of May. I've also alluded that the President will be launching this one. We will also, Chair, during the Protection Week, visit the Philadelphia School in Gauteng. You'd recall that I think last year there was, or the other year, 2010, there was an outcry in the school about the level of abuse that is taking place there. So we want to go there and look at what has changed. Also engage stakeholders on child killings for Muti in Northwest, consultation on national plan of action in all provinces, sanitary dignity campaign in all provinces. We're working in this area we're looking at what the Department of Correctional Services is doing and making sure that there's coordination in all of the departments so that we're not doing things in silos. Strengthening early childhood development, as I said, this would in East London. Annual planned activities to create awareness and advocacy on children's rights, rotating in all provinces. Visit the sampled women's projects for economic development that include farms. We are meeting, there are some women that are partnering with people from Holland that are looking at water purification. Chair, we had a meeting just 2 days ago in looking at how we can ensure that women participate directly in this regard. We also need to compile provincial database for women in constructions, CETA boards, women in tourism, so that we're able to assess to what extent are women participating in economic structures. The MNE strategy is planning for the first preparatory meeting with Gauteng Province on the third week of May, so that we're able to do that. At this point, Chair, I will allow the CFO to run through the financial resources. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation on the budget is very brief. We are showing it per program, and we're also indicating the baseline amount for 11-12 from which we are working from. Under administration, the first program administration, we had a baseline of 42.8 million. In the current financial year, the allocation has grown to 63.8 million. In the second year, it's 74 million. In the outer year, it's 83.6 million. And then the Council for Gender-Based Violence, there was no baseline in the previous financial year. And in the current financial year, we've allocated money that we took from the WIGI branch. We allocated 2.5 million for the first year, second year, and the third year. And then WIGI then remains with an amount, the baseline was 23 million last year. The current financial year is 18.4 after we reduced it with the Council for GBVC allocation. In 13-14, there's an allocation of 22 for WIGI. 14-15, we've got an allocation of 25.2. And then the CGE, which is a transfer payment, in the baseline amount, we had 55.1 million. In the current financial year, it's 58.5. In year 13-14, we've got an allocation of 61.7 million, and the outer year is 65.4. Children's rights and responsibilities, we had a baseline of 10.2 million. There's a small growth of 3 million in the second year, in the current financial year, which takes it to 13.5. In 13-14, it's an allocation of 16 million, and in the outer year, it's 17.1. Rights of people with disabilities, the allocation, the baseline there was 12 million. In the current financial year, the allocation is 15.4 million. In 13-14, it has gone to 19.1, and the outer year is 20.9. In total, for the department, we were working from a baseline of 143.1 million in the previous financial year. There was a growth to 172.2. In the second year of the MTF, it's 195.3 million. In the outer year, is 214.7 million. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Welcome, Honorable Tsikani. I would now allow members to engage, ask questions, comments, maybe before we do that, I need to congratulate the department and say that for the past 3 years, at least we can see the light, you know. We are going somewhere. So far, we are satisfied with some of the things that you have presented to us. And most importantly, that now you are able to align your programs with the key strategic focus areas of the government. Without that, you know, your planning would be very poor. So if you've done that, it's a plus for you, and we are pleased with that. I would then afford members first to ask questions, comments, and okay. Then respond after.
Yeah, Chair, I don't have much questions. This is fairly a new department. I must align myself with your congratulations for the department. Also say thank you, DG. We hear of plans and plans and plans, mostly just plans. We haven't heard anything in terms of implementation or just the pilot project. One would like to know, through you, Chair, the plans as mentioned in the report, what is the status of the plans? Are the plans in terms of the available budget, or is just plans that are not in line with what you have at hand? And if plans are there and they are in terms of the available budget, when is it likely that these plans are going to be rolled out to the public? the other question is the budget for administration. Well, as I said earlier, this is a newly established department. I see it started 2011-12 at 42.8, but it is, I think this is an estimate of what, I don't know, 14-15, it is at 83.6, that's millions. Now, in my weak arithmetic, it has actually doubled. What would be the cause of that doubling of the budget share? Yeah. And the other thing, how far is the department in filling up all the vacancies which could then enable the department to run smoothly? Because we see, especially recently, the violence against children and rape is increasing almost every minute of the day. And this is the only department that we hope will be directly involved to research and see what are the causes of all this molestation of our children, our own children. It's really shocking. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the department for their presentation. Mr. Mahora took a lot of my questions, but I'd also like to come back on the expenditure for administration, because if you go right back to 2009-10, and I think the department, correct me if I'm wrong, has been going about 2 years, it has gone up from 1.7 million to 42.8, which was for 2011-12, let alone to the 63.8 billion projected for 2012-13. This is something like 53.7% based on the 52.8 of the total allocation, which is for compensation of employees. And they say anything over like 35% is high. So I take it now, with that high level of spending, that most of the posts, as Mr. Mahora asked, have now been completed and have been filled, so that more money will not be unnecessarily spent on administration and more can be put into the various departments, the various programs. Then I'd like to, there is no mention made anymore of the National Disability Bill, which was stated in last year's strategic plan and APP. Why is this? And also, what is the status of the Disability Job Fund as stipulated last year in the strategic plan, which is absent in the current plan? And why is there no synergy between the strategic objectives and goals? You did mention that they have changed, but is this the reason when compared to the strategic plan and annual performance plan of this year to last year? Then, has the department at long last got an internal audit unit up and going? Then, also, part of the department's responsibilities are to ensure that all state departments employ 2%, as was alluded to by the deputy DG. They are supposed to be employing 2% of disabled persons. There are various departments who still do not comply with that. I know it's up to each department to do that, but it is also this department's priority to monitor and to ensure that that takes place. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry to be late, sir. I had another meeting. Chairperson, I want also to congratulate the department, the way that she is doing. This is the new department, but the footing you can see. Chairperson, I wanted to, it's not just a comment, it's not a question to the department, that in the rural areas, I don't see much done to them, because if you can see some children that are a lot of rape there, it takes time to be attended. So I think the department must also focus on the deep rural areas, because I understand they are focusing maybe in towns, whatever, but in those deep, more especially in the Eastern Cape, there's a lot of rape, a lot of abuses. So they take time to be attended by the policemen, by the department, all of those things. So I think it's that comment that I want to raise to the department. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, members. There's an issue that was canvassed by the Portfolio Committee, they've requested that you respond to this one. We have a whole list of questions that I would not want to pose, but I will give them in writing so that you respond. We give you time frames to do that. It happens with other departments as well. It's fine. With you as well, we can give you that. You go back, you do your research, then you give us proper responses. They want you to give us a breakdown of the implementation of the National Women's Day celebration. Let me not single that out only, but the campaigns that you'll be embarking on. Give us a breakdown of that. If you are able to do it now, do it now. And then with regard to the expenditure of 2012, there was an issue raised in the committee concerning the 27.5 million. In terms of their calculations, apparently it was incorrect. Are you able to respond to that now? Do that, because their report is pending based on those two issues. They are unable to adopt their report because of those two issues. Ne? So if you're able to do that, please do that. We have questions in writing. We'll submit them to you. And then what is the required 2 weeks? Ne? In 2 weeks' time, if you could kindly get back to us. But one of the things that you need to know is that we meet today. Your presentation will have to inform our budget vote debate, which is next week Friday. So if there's any issue that would require you to clarify, we need to agree here that you will allow us to maybe give us a person that we can communicate with. Because of, you know, some of these questions, figures and all that, and you know, practically if you ask people questions pertaining to figures and all that, it's not possible that they can give you the accurate information within a short period that we have in here. Okay, I think I've raised that the 27.5 million, which is not collaborating with the 18.4 that you're saying. Are you able to deal with that now? Okay, fine. I'm going to allow you to do that, and then in the meantime, yeah, I'm going to allow you to do that. All right. Maybe just respond to all the questions that you can be able to respond to that members have raised, and then focus on the breakdown. And then clarify the 18.4 versus the 27.5. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just to make sure that my team is ready to respond to some of the questions. Chair, I will speak to some of the questions, but the question on violence, Dr. September will speak to that. The work that we do in rural areas and things, Mary would also respond to that one. The CFO will respond to financial ones, and then the Bazima will speak to the vacancies, the posts that are supposed to be filled. Chair, it's true that it might seem that we are involved in planning, as the Honourable Member was saying to us. But we are definitely moving with regards to what we're supposed to be doing. The case in point is around the fact that we are given a clearer directive in ensuring that the 2% employment of disabled people in all government departments is met by March 2013. One of the stumbling blocks that makes this not to move faster as we would want to wish is the fact that the reasonable accommodation strategy within the Department of Public Administration is not clearly articulated. So we're working with the department now to make sure that there is a clearer directive and a guideline for department to understand how to provide reasonable accommodation, because disabled people might be employed, but they get frustrated because issues of reasonable accommodation are seen to be very expensive. So we wanted to make sure that from the Department of Public Administration, that issue is clearly articulated. So we're working with them now, and there is a commitment for us to move faster so that the department are able to get guidance. The disability bill is not off the table. We had had discussions with the disability sector. The minister has met and the deputy minister has met with the sector, so that we are not seen as imposing any direction to them. So there is now a firm agreement that we want to move towards that direction. But I think what we needed to do is to look at what kind of legislation are we looking to see. Are we wanting to take over everything that other pieces of legislation are speaking to with regards to disability and move away from the mainstream concept and follow the American way of doing things, the American Disability Act, for instance, and the Australian one. So we wanted to look at what comes out of the report, and also there's a process that we're looking at it, auditing the current legislation and looking at gaps, so that at the time that we're able to get that information, then we're able to present and share that with the disability movement, and then we can move towards that. And we're looking at around September to be coming up with some of the information that we think would help us to say, are we looking at making sure that we pull everything into one legislation, or we're looking at legislation that will look at enforcement to make sure that we're saying that this is what this legislation is going to address. We are going to make sure that whatever is being said within the legislation on, for instance, the Department of Labor, there is an enforcement that this the disability legislation will be speaking to, so that we're not dumping everything into one place. And therefore, that would maybe, in our view, ghettoize disability. So these are some of the things that we're trying to look at, international best practice or the weaknesses at the international level. So no, it's not off the bill. Sorry, the legislation thing is not off. Maybe, Chair, at this point, I'm just trying to look at some of the things that I thought I would respond to. Maybe, Chair, let me allow my team to respond on some of the issues that were raised.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to start with the last question, which the Chairperson asked on the issue that was raised at the Portfolio Committee last week, 2 weeks ago. The expenditure on wage indeed is true. It's not even amounting to 27.5 million that's written on the E&E. It's a typo. We addressed it with the Treasurer after we left the meeting with the Portfolio Committee. And the actual budget figure that has been that we know of is 20.7 million. We just corrected it now with the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee, the Researchers Unit. And then the breakdown on the campaigns is something that we will provide when we get back to the office, because we don't have the breakdown for all the campaigns. Yes. Now, Chairperson, under the concern for the big budget under administration, indeed it's true. Maybe I should just say what the reasons are for that huge increase on administration, under administration. Administration comprises, even in terms of posts, comprises of, I think, more than 50% of the total number of posts within the department. Therefore, that's the first reason on compensation of employees. And the reason being that admin houses, HRM, it houses internal audit, it houses finance, it houses office accommodation, which is one of the biggest amounts there of 8 million. It also houses research. Research is cutting across on the line functions, but it's housed under admin. And then there's also intersectoral and international relations, which is also a cut across function, but it's housed under administration. As well as the Council for Gender-Based Violence, it's also housed under administration. So that sort of distorts the picture when it comes to line function focus, because the bigger, most of the three units that I've mentioned now, research, the Council for Gender-Based Violence, as well as intersectoral and international relations, they are focused on the line function work. And then there's also the fact that the ministry, the department has got a deputy minister now. Now, that increase also, we actually absorbed an amount of 12 million migrating from the Department of Public Works coming into our department. So that sort of increases the amount for budget of administration. The issues on HRM and finance, it's mainly because of the reasons that at the beginning, the moment we became independent from the presidency, we were expected as a department to report independently and also deal with compliance issues. Now, compliance issues mean that you need to have, for example, if you take a financial system, you need to have three levels of people that will operate the system so that there's no areas or there's no possibilities of collusion. There are minimized risks of fraudulent activities on the system. There's an enhanced system of internal control. So most of the posts that are filled at the moment are posts that are necessarily, that are supposed to be there, that are very critical to be there for control purposes. I think I've covered, yes, and my colleagues will talk to the 1 year of internal audit.
Thanks, Yeshu and Chairperson and honorable members. In terms of how far is the department in filling some positions, concentration, like the CFO was saying, was to fill critical positions identified by the minister about this last financial year. Obviously, positions were filled from the level at the DDGs, chief directors, and coming down, but also looking at the position that they've got impact in terms of our audit. So majority of positions that we filled last year were chief directors and DDGs. So, but of course we've got a plan after we finalize our HR plan that was submitted to DPSA of rolling out that plan in the 5 year in terms of filling those positions. Well, internal audit, as we're sitting now, they are going for the second day of competency assessment. That person obviously will start working on the 1st of June because obviously the Auditor General has raised concerns in terms of our governance issues. But the person will start on the 1st of July. But safe to say, we have got a functional audit committee started, I think, last year, December. But it's just supported ad hoc in the department. But audit committee members are there. The audit unit will, from 1st July, will be fully functional in terms of that. Well, yeah, I think the composition of budget, yeah, the high composition, the CFO has taken care of it. Yeah, that's it.
Masima, before you hand over to, are you able to tell us what are the positions that the minister is critically saying they need to be filled? Are you able to share that with us? Yeah, because you just said that in general, you know, you were never specific.
Yeah, position that minister able to say now, it's a DDG wedge. Currently, we don't have a branch head. We've gone through the interviews last week. Yesterday and today, the recommended candidate is going for competency assessment. And yesterday, she was urging me to fast track the appointment, preferable by the 1st of July, so that she takes care of the National Women's Day, Women's Month. So the other post is the DDG Corporate Services. We have done that, it's starting on the 1st of June. internal audit. There's a chief director in rights of people with disabilities now, and there's a chief director in rights of children. Those are the positions other than the media liaison officer that the minister said we must make sure that we appoint those positions.
Look, let's go back to the slide where there's the structure, the organizational structure, and see all these posts, you know. Sarah, that will answer your question. Eh? I'm trying to do that. Okay. Where are we now? Okay. Take us through, please. Let's start the minister. Let's start from the top. Tell us who's in, who's been prioritized. Yeah. Just take us through that.
Thanks, Chairperson. Where I'm sitting is on my left. Minister, okay, we start from the ministry. Positions in ministries are filled except the media liaison officer, because the media liaison officer is an one to the private sector, will be facilitating the appointment of an MLO. Deputy Minister currently, his appointment just, a PA. So, but DG's office, currently the DG doesn't have somebody to support at the director level, but because of budgetary constraint, that position is not prioritized for now. But there's a vacant post of director in the DG's office that will support the intent of managing the office. So coming to the branches now, the DGGOS that I'm talking about on my left, it's a position that has been interviewed last week Friday, but yesterday they were going for competency assessment. Honorable members need to appreciate the agency within which we interview on Friday late until past 7, but by Tuesday and today they are going for competency assessment. We were given instruction yesterday by the minister to negotiate for that because she has spoken with the minister of that department. Our role is to make sure that the security clearance is get as quickly as possible. So that process, we have instructed the director, yeah, security. And then on the far right of mine is the DDG corporate management. That's what we've done with it and everything. So she's coming, she has accepted our offer. She's starting on the 1st of June. Yeah, we will we'll update it. Yeah, thanks. Now we'll update it. Okay, we'll update it. So when we come under the chief director, the chief director that I'm talking about, yeah, the chief directorate in women, empowerment, and gender equality, all three chief directors are appointed. What is not the IT directors, that has been prioritized. The directors are not appointed. And then second part, the children's rights, and yeah, the children's rights. It's only one chief director, institutional support and capacity. We indicated it's vacant. The position has been advertised, Honorable Chair. It's a question of doing the shortlisting and the appointments. Same applies to the chief director and the next one, yeah, the rights of people with disabilities. Yeah. The advert, yeah, I think it's a question of shortlisting and making the appointments. But it's only then we still have to discuss certain technicalities with the minister that because their proposal that they've put forward, my office and the CFO's office, there are certain proposal that we put for those positions to be filled. And then the rest of these other positions, except, Honorable Chair, the directors in the core function, we have advertised some of them last year, March, and stuff like that. Probably we need to re-advertise them because you might find people who are available by then might not be available, might have been appointed by other departments, so we're not sure. It's a question of re-advertising the positions, but that process, like I'm saying, we need to engage the minister because there's sort of shifting of funds within the department. And yes, there are certain positions that are not necessarily fully funded, but there's basic funding for those positions. So, yeah. So majority of positions at a high level are filled. It's only then the director's position that the two DDGs that we're finalizing. Unless if I've left certain.
Then, can we go back to the DG's office? is it going to be functional without the support that it requires, and were those posts prioritized as well? No, look at the DGs, the Director General's office. They require three. Ne? There's a small box there on your, it's on my right, I think this will be on your left. It's the Chief Directorate Financial Management, the CFO, we do have, and then the Chief Directorate Secretariat for the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, we do have, and the Directorate Internal Audit, it's vacant. It's the one that you've advertised then. Okay, no. Those are key. Yeah, that's fine. All right. Okay. Daryl, is there anything that you'd want to...
No, I just...
Mike, for a question, people.
Yeah, I just heard that there were 34 posts to be filled. I know these are the top echelon, yeah, but in total, what do the department, how many posts are there through all the various administrations, through the various, what do you call them, administrations that are vacant?
The total vacant post, the total amount of vacant posts.
The total vacant post currently is 74 in terms of our organizational structure.
What is the complement of the entire organization or department structure?
The structure currently is 200 posts.
To get that 200, you are short of 30, 74. It's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. Are you okay? All right.
Maybe my colleague needs to just qualify that those posts that are vacant are not funded. Yes.
Madam Chair, the department can't agree more with the members in terms of society and our own deep concern regarding the issues of violence. This, of course, is not only a government issue. And one needs to strengthen society and community's participation and role within our role, and that is where we will focus in the future. You'd also note that we will soon be celebrating or commemorating Child Protection Week, which is now Child Protection Month. And the department has partnered with the Department of Social Development that leads this campaign closely for the starting from the 27th of May. The President on the 27th of May will launch Child Protection Week in Kimberley. That then will be followed by a number of activities where various departments have taken responsibility for specific days. Our department will be focusing on the 1st of June, for example, on children with disabilities. That's also the international and regional thematic area for children this year. Deputy Minister will be again in Shugan Kube. In Kimberley. I think you're really good, Shosha. On children in the Northern States, particularly on disabilities. And then on the 2nd of June, Minister will be going to the Northwest and have a number of invisos on child killing. Engaging local communities there as well. We particularly note, ma'am, your concern about the particular nature but also the difficulties of that children face and the families face who are abused in rural areas. You know, they're far from police stations, if those exist, medical examinations, legal access and so on. So we're really aware with that, and we've been working with NGOs in that regard. Therefore, you'd note that the child-friendly communities initiative, Minister has paid specific attention to making sure that some of these child-friendly activities as initiatives actually are launched within rural areas, and that will be upscaled. We have identified, we're in partnership with the OASC to identify three new child-friendly cities initiatives, and those would all three be in rural areas because of particularly that concern. In terms of violence against adolescents, you'd also note that we have to, of course, engage on violence from birth to 18 years old, and of course including women on the other end. But this group, adolescents, are particularly focused because that's where we have our difficulties in increased rates of HIV infections, diseases, and so on, but also pertaining to pregnancies and the consequences of pregnancies for young boys and women. So this year, Minister will be focusing during Child Protection Week also on issues of the abuse and sexual violence against adolescents, and engage with those young people to talk with them and to hear their voices in terms of their own concerns around sexual violence, and particularly children who are still at school or adolescents that face those violence, abuses and perpetration of their rights, the sexual and reproductive health within schools and other locations that should be caring for them. And then finally, members would have noted that Cabinet has already approved the National Council on Violence Against on Gender-Based Violence. So this means that that will be the overarching operational arm of the department, which would include women, children, and people with disabilities. We have now already a very strong secretariat in place with a very supportive feedback from civil society organizations. We really have hope that this will constitute an important body to monitor and advocate against the scourge that our society is burdened with, both locally and internationally, unfortunately. So the National Council will be launched during Women's Month this year. And during that time, we would also launch a very important report. We have been partnering with UNICEF to produce a desktop study that analyzes all the existing research that's been done on violence against children, including homicides. We've used that as a basis for the department to engage other government departments to look critically at their role and the gaps in terms of where government interventions are currently failing these victims. We will then come up with a document that speaks to those gaps. And we hope that government departments would come to the table to address that and commit to a monitoring plan to say these are the gaps, this is what we recognize that we are not doing well. We intend doing X, Y, and Z. And so we hope that it will translate in a pledge ceremony with a measurable plan so that we could address collectively and monitor this the governmental plans on violence against women, children, and people with disabilities. And then finally, the issue of partners. We've been, as we come to terms and develop our M&E strategy, we realize that we will have to work with the select committee and the structures, particularly taking it down to your constituencies. There's no way that we can not do that. So we will come back to the select committee as well as the portfolio committee very soon and talk to you around the M&E strategy of the department. And then, as in a workshop, to make sure that we engage with you, but also partner with you to take key messages to your local communities, those wards and those constituencies that you are responsible for, are those constituencies and wards where these acts of violence are being perpetrated. And you are the leaders of the community, so you can do much more than we do. And we really hope to come back so that we can strengthen those messages with you. The NGO partners are growing. They've been working tirelessly on this issue for many years. The international NGOs are as concerned as we are, and they too have committed their support. So we really, really hope that we will be able to turn this picture and the story around as South Africa is a violent society, and that we do not look after our children to one of a caring nation and caring society for our children. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Rose, can you update members in terms of how far are we with the MNE strategy?
Members would have noted both in last year's strategic plan and this strategic plan, when the chief director, including the three directors of chief directors of M&E, was appointed last year, one of the first issues was to conduct a diagnostic review of the landscape of M&E for women, children, and people with disability. Now, what does that mean? That meant at that point in time, government was also struggling to come to terms with its government-wide M&E strategy. DPME has developed that framework. DPME was, for example, also established at the same time that this department has been established. So within this government-wide strategy, we had to find our own niche. And we needed to find out two things. Who is collecting data on women, children, and people with disabilities? How often do they collect it, and what do they do with that information? The strategy that we've used to do that diagnosis was last year in October, we conducted a summit, an M&E summit on women, children, and people with disabilities. From that report served as a baseline for a broader study. We partnered with HSRC on that study called a Diagnostic Review on Women, Children, and People with Disability, focusing on M&E. Last week, we had a validation workshop with them. That study is now completed. We now would be in the position to develop our specific framework. That's the framework I'm talking about when I say we'll come back to the select committee and to the portfolio committee to say this is the framework. It's just the framework. We know there's two parts of the framework that's important for members. The one is tracking government's performance. That is a key mandate of this department. However, part of that mandate belongs to Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. So that's the easy part. That we will work with them to monitor government's performance. The part B of the framework is the most important, the most difficult one for us currently, and that is how do we include the voices and the experiences of our constituencies on the ground, meaning that government will come to portfolio committees and give their interpretation of the work that they are doing through their own lenses. What we are not doing right as a country, we are not succeeding in translating the voices of the people on the ground regularly into policy or conversations that you, the members of parliament, can hear and transform into social policy as well as programmatic interventions. And that's the part that we want to strengthen as M&E. It's novel in the country, it's novel in the world, but that's what this department is supposed to do. It's supposed to monitor what's happening in terms of the realization of the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities. And for that, we would need your support because, again, as I said before, you are the custodians of rights realization according to the Constitution within your constituencies, and we really rely on your help. We hope to get back to the portfolio committee as well as the select committee shortly, probably within the next month or two. I thank you. of the exercises were?
Thank you, Didi. Honorable Chair and honorable members, thank you for this time. And indeed, I must echo the sentiments of my colleague that we are very concerned also about the scourge of violence that women also and children are going through in our country. And for us, it's worse because acting DG will bear witness to this. We have women that are coming to the department continually needing whatever kind of support that they think they can get from us, and we do give that. In some cases, it's just referrals and supporting them going to through the whole process of laying cases, helping them, supporting them when they go to appear, the perpetrators are appearing in court. Minister has now and then go in also when she's around. So we are all affected, really, because we have to deal with the victims also on a daily basis. And in some cases, we have to have donations, because with some of the families you find it's such a problematic. We know unemployment and poverty in our country is very rife. And in most rural areas, in such cases, you find not a person is even working in those families. So we are really concerned, and we are doing that. And to that end, Minister has also given us an instruction that we need to develop rapid response teams so that we respond in a very integrated way when we deal with gender-based violence. We have the PASAPS on board, we have justice on board, we have social development on board, because our mandate really is not to implement anything. We are coordinating and facilitating, creating an enabling department for those environment, for those departments also to come in, intervene and support the victims. So we are working very much on that, and very soon we'll be giving Minister reports, and there are areas that we are flagging, that we are targeting. And let me also say, when it comes to rural women, we are not only concerned about the physical violence and all the other contact crimes and others, but we are also concerned holistically, and that's why, for example, the department also felt that Minister needed to engage with her colleagues on the traditional courts bill, because we had concerns which rural women raised with Minister to take on, and also amongst them was their participation also in the hearings. And just broadly, the education, we interacted with the legislature, the office of the different legislature in provinces, to ensure that in the education, public education, on the participation of the bill, women are part of that. And we also engaged with Minister, engaged with the colleagues in the COCTA, also to make sure that municipalities offer support for women to attend this hearing. Where transport is a problem, we have requested that they come on board and also help, because the department does not have that kind of budget. We have also partnered with civil society in some cases so that they also help us and conduct that kind of awareness amongst rural women, because we know there's very little. Because we also realized when we looked at the targeted area where the public hearings are taking place, in some cases you find women in deep rural cannot easily access those areas. And those were some of the women that also felt that Minister should take some of the issues that they are raising. So the department has been involved in that, facilitating and coordinating rural women. And not only that, but our staff, some of our staff members also are attending the public hearings that are taking place. And yes, On again on rural women, one member raised the question of, we are always planning what is happening. With respect, yes, we realize a lot of the staff members only joined the department late last year, so it was more of planning then. But there are two pilot projects already that are going on in the rural areas. We have one in Gombani, in deep Limpopo rural, in Venda towards the Messina border, where women are engaged in the poverty levels there were just really, let me not even go there. But we realized when we went into those areas that women are struggling. Clinics to start basic social services were not accessible for them. So we partnered with the Department of Public Works, with IDT also, and registered a co-op in those in that area to make sure that we start with building. Because the women, the mud houses that were there, you find in one mud house, it's a mother with five kids. The mud house is about to fall, the thatch is falling in, and so we saw in the first place, as we did with IGT, that if we can at least start by addressing the housing, but then we want the women also to be involved in that. So we agreed with Public Works, the expanded Public Works program is giving them the monthly stipend, and the women started, the department, the IGT purchased the machines for brick manufacturing. So the women took turns building each other's house. When yours is finished, complete, we go to the other. They were trained, and they are the ones doing the work, and we are happy with that, because currently, although there are about 24 members in that co-op, they've managed to finish 8 of the houses. 4 are completely finished. They've moved in, and we are glad also because, you know, it was just an integrated approach. And secondly to that, one other project that we are busy with is the one that the minister did a sword turning one event in February. It's in Port St. John's. Now it's my turn. Kakuba. Yeah, the Limpopo one is in Gombani. The village is called Gombani. It's right in the valley, very hot area. Nothing is growing there. You ask yourself, where did this village spring up from? But anyway, I won't say the words, but in the Eastern Cape where we are involved, the department has of Kakuba, yes. We, once again, it was an integrated approach. The municipality is on board. The chief in the village is also on board. Very supportive woman who wants to see development in the, and community was consulted. They identified what they needed. And once again, unemployment was top on the list. And then we have also the cooperative that we help register there also include people with disabilities, because we said it should be an integrated model. Again, like my colleague has indicated, some of our projects are really the safe park model, safe city model that we have piloted. Ugu, Port Shepston in KZN, and we are looking at really those areas which we know are rural, because like we say, they don't have the benefit of what some of the urban areas are having. So we are expanding that model now, integrating it with the Gombani one for indigenous building. So the women will build the center themselves, the memorial center, and then within that we will have a safe park thing where for children. Because we also realized, I'm sure some of you who know Port St. John's, there were a number of drownings where, because children don't have a place to play. They go and play near the ocean. Some are, you know, it's another problem that we know in our country. But we have integrated that model within the village so that then children have a safe place where they will play. Not only that, we are looking at having facilitating ECD center within that, so that it's a safe place. We also create employment for some of the people who work within the ECD, and some of those, again, who are operating the machines. They are very friendly. A person with disability sitting on a chair easily operates that. It's press, and the others pour incense. So it's just, so we are working on that within rural areas as a way, like we are saying, of not only empowering women themselves. Even that one, expanded public works program, is on board, and then we have partnered with IDC, and like my acting DG has already indicated, we are working again with the IDC. Last week, women presented the different projects that cooperatives, women co-ops, will be doing in the rural areas. We have targeted rural areas, really, Honorable Chair. So I don't think I'll go into the different. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. I think Rose touched on one important issue with regard to department working with members of parliament, and also to confirm, I think members will also agree with me that that's a general outcry, you know, to say that members will say that you hear that the minister is in your ward, even in an area where you live, not only our minister, but generally ministers, you know. There's a program that is happening there, you don't know, you both come from the from parliament, you're not aware, but there's this program that the minister is attending to, or, and if maybe you can give us, you've mentioned a list of areas where minister will be going to, ne? So if you can just maybe give us that, then we can make copies and then just send them into their pigeonholes. That's one. But secondly, acting DG, is that if I'm correct, you said the liaison officer is not there, eh? It's not yet filled, the position. Yeah. The media. Oh, no. The liaison officer is there. Make sure that wherever the minister is going, unless if it's a boardroom meeting, but if she's if she's going to participate on outreach programs, there are PCOs there, you know, always liaise with constituency officers. And then, but in addition, again, just to fast track the whole thing, you can just give us a whole list of areas that the minister is going to visit. We can just make an attachment letter and say, members, please take note that on such a... Though members of parliament would want to get a special invitation, you know? They would want to get a special invitation if they don't get that. But just from our side to say that the minister has communicated, but make it a norm that as and when the minister is involved in outreach programs, we do also liaise with constituent officers. Members, are there any other questions? Okay, Dara.
Thanks, Chair. Now, only one I want to know is, has the department signed any MOUs, memorandum understandings, with provinces with regard to women's empowerment? I tell you why, in my own province, there is no department for women, children, and persons with disabilities on its own. It's sort of merged into the Premier's department. And we once had that meeting, Chair will remember, here in Newland somewhere, and, you know, they sent representatives from the province. But when you go back again to find where those persons are, they've disappeared. They've been replaced. So I can't quite get to the bottom how your department functions through to the various provinces. Thank you.
I'll tell you what. Note that and then give us, with all provinces, your relationship and or the portfolio committee. Okay, fine. They should just do that in writing, because if now they were just doing to focus on, what is this, Free State alone, then next year I will be asking the same question. But then if you give us a breakdown of all provinces, it will be better. Okay, then. I think that then brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much. And we wish the DG a speedy recovery. And then we're going to give you questions, né, in writing, then, of which you can respond in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. All right.
table.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't get the name of the acting DDG. Do you have it?
It's Kusei Ritoni. Lori Sitoni. Why
Thank you.